Well, we are in week four of our Nehemiah series. To give a little bit of story, we are in week four of Nehemiah series, which is half of all the services we've been at church. We've only done eight services. Well, this is our ninth service. And we four of them, we've been in Nehemiah, and we've been journeying through that. I'm really excited about that. Nehemiah is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Again, I've said it before as a leadership standpoint, but really as a community standpoint, coming together as one community. And this week we're going to be looking at what I'm titling Bricks and Battle. Because as we look into chapter 4, we see that there's opposition to anything that the Lord wants us to do. We're going to come against some opposition. Some of us in this building right now have felt the opposition of the Lord in things that we've done, not just as the Connection Church, like the Ohio State, as Connection Church, but also in our individual lives as we've dug into the Word, as we have prayed over, in some of our cases, students and staff members, as we've led other ministries. We know that the enemy doesn't like that, and we've come against opposition. I know that way back in 2005 when we moved into our house, we had a little bit of opposition with that, and it wasn't with finances, it was with family who said, "Can you handle all that? Do you realize how old that house is? Do you realize the amount of windows?" And we're like, yeah, we looked around it. Because see, when we're looking through God's lens, we can see a bigger picture. We could see the potential in it. But the enemy doesn't want us to see that. And he's going to put opposition in there. And one of the things that we had was, do you realize the amount of money that's going to cost to keep up that house? I mean, look how big that house is compared to the house you had before. But we knew that it was something that we were supposed to enter into, mainly because the fireplace was everything that she wanted. And then we painted the house exactly the way the picture we had, a literal picture, we painted that way. And so we moved in. And that was back in 2005. And here we are 20 years later. This month, actually. And so we knew that that house was more than just a house. It was a home. It was not going to be a home just for us. We knew that we were going to welcome others into our home. And as we led other opportunities and ministries, it became more than that. As our kids grew up, we saw kids come in and out of our house at all times. And now we have an actual separate area for our kids to entertain friends. Our deck has become an extension of that. But it's much more than just a deck, because it's a meeting place for kids to have a safe place to meet the Lord. But it didn't come without opposition. It didn't come without financial issues. To be totally transparent, we fought 7 years against our mortgage company to keep what was four walls, basically. Our lawyer told us, like, are you sure you want to do this? I will go through this with you. Are you sure you want to battle this? Because let's just boil it down to what it is. It is four walls. You can find that somewhere else. And I remember that, sitting in our bedroom, having that phone call, going, this is more than a house. This is our home. This is worth fighting for. We literally took our mortgage company to court. We took them to federal court because they violated a whole lot of HUD laws and all this other stuff. For 7 years. Now, granted, for 7 years, we also didn't pay a mortgage payment. So that was kind of a blessing over those, because there were a lot of ministry stuff that we were doing that we were able to use that money for. But we fought for it because we knew it was more than just. And so as we look into this week as Bricks and Battle, we're going to see that Nehemiah had the vision. The people caught hold of the vision, but there were people that weren't happy with it. And they are going to fight and try to deceive and mock them as we go through this. So you're going to expect resistance when we're doing God's work. Nehemiah 4, verses 1 through 3. We're going to kind of read through this here. When Sanballat heard that God's people were rebuilding the wall. Here's the thing. They had already heard that he was going to do it. People were like, we're going to plant a church. They heard we were going to, but then it was like, well, wait a minute, they're really doing this thing. When he heard that they were rebuilding the wall, The Bible says he became angry and incensed. Now, incense doesn't mean that he smelled nice. In fact, he was ticked off, like Twitterverse. Like, he's like, Sanballat and Tobiah mocked the Jews in front of everyone. Political leaders, soldiers, the whole crowd. There was a crowd that they're mocking them. They said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Even a fox could knock that down. They're mocking them. See, because here's, whenever God's people start rebuilding what has been broken, the enemy gets loud because the enemy's like, oh, I defeated that once. That's been broken down. It's done. It's defeated. I don't know. I think later Jesus goes, I'm going to rebuild the temple in 3 days. The temple's broken down. Jerusalem, the walls are knocked down, and the enemy doesn't like it. So here's the deal. When you start really getting serious and you start following Jesus, and here's the thing, that's a personal thing, but here's the second part of it. When you start forgiving people, when you start serving other people, when you start building the actual church, and I don't mean a building, a physical building like we are, but really building up the church and going out there and building the church, there's going to be pushback. So church, I'm just going to let you know it's not going to be easy. We're doing something the enemy doesn't want us to do. Again, individually and corporately. But we know what we're called to do, and we're going to continue to do it. Nehemiah had critics. Who are we to think that we won't? Jesus had critics. Talk about someone who got mocked. Who are we to think that we won't get mocked? Except we're a lot lesser than him, and our feelings get hurt. And when our feelings get hurt, then we crawl into our shell, or we find someone else to agree with our hurt, and we go down that road. Sanballat was from Samaria. See, his name means sin has given life. The one whose name means sin gives life is trying to stop the people who God actually gave life. It's kind of ironic in that, but we know who wins in the end. And isn't that the same thing the enemy does to us? He mocks what God is restoring. He whispers, who do you think you are? You'll never finish that. You'll never complete that. That is going to cost too much. You don't have enough people to do that. But Jesus already warned us this is what happened. In John 16:33, he said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. See, he doesn't say you might have trouble. He says you will have trouble. We're going to have trouble. We want to have an easy life. I do. I want it to be smooth sailing. This week at work, it was like a tale of two halves. It was really an odd week. But I welcome the second half. Because see, the first half was brutal. I don't know why. I have a feeling I know why. But when we break it down, we're like, oh, I'm an analyzer. So I'm like, well, this happened to cause this and this. So if we could prevent this. And really, I couldn't even figure that out the first half of the week. So I did the only thing I knew what to do, and that was pray. Actually, I think it started on Tuesday because Wednesday was much better. Came out for a prayer walk. The Lord gave me some words, and work started getting better. By Friday, I'm not joking, I was literally separating Uno cards for work. Now, there's a reason for the Uno cards. In our lunches, they get loud, so to kind of calm down the loudness, we let them play Uno and some cards. Because, I don't know if you know, 7th and 8th graders, they eat their lunches in like 5 minutes, and our lunches are half an hour. So they have 25 minutes to get really loud and get obnoxious. So I'm literally, no fooling, I spent a little over an hour separating 6 decks of Uno cards that all got jammed together, and literally, 0, 1, 2, looked up the rules. Did you know there's only 1 0 in each color? I like, that was new to me. I could tell you all how many of each thing. But it was because the enemy doesn't want me to have that kind of week. And so I was like, well, I don't have anything else. All I can do is pray. Now, having said that, I've said this before, that's not all. Because it's not just praying. So when opposition comes, don't be surprised. We need to expect it. But here's the thing. Also know and expect that God's going to do something out of that. Because he's already gone before you. So like I said, we can respond with prayer and preparation much like Nehemiah did. Nehemiah 4:9 says, but we prayed, and in opposition, we prayed to our God. Our God, their God, the one God. They prayed to God, and they posted a guard day and night. See, I love that. They didn't just pray. They didn't pray and go, God, it's all on you. They knew they had an action to take. They had to prepare, and they posted a guard. Because, see, this is what faith looks like. It's prayer and preparation. See, Nehemiah had built a new culture, one that they prayed first. They didn't pray out of. They didn't go and pray because, now we got to pray. And they say there's no atheists in foxholes. Lord, save me, not that sense. Like, I don't see them going, Lord, save us. But they went to prayer because Nehemiah had come in with prayer. He had shown them prayer. He went to the leaders who do pray, and they went right to prayer. Chapter 1, when he had heard the walls were broken down, he didn't make a plan. He prayed. And now the people that he's leading is doing the same thing. That's revival. When we don't see prayer as a reaction, but the first line and what we're going to do going into it and creating that relationship with the Lord, that's when revival happens. Because prayer changes culture. It changes us. It changes the community around us. It changes how we can walk around. We have a choice to walk around with our shoulders down. Woe is me. Why is it always me? Why is everything coming at me? Or we can pray to the one that can change our posture, literally, and walk in. For me, this week, I walked into school on Thursday, 2 cups of coffee, because that's what I need. But I walked in, and I walked in like, this is my day. Because I had prayed. Every morning, I get up and I pray. But the prayer was different this week. That's why we're doing Tuesday night prayers. That's why we need to create a posture, a culture of prayer first. That's why Tuesday nights matter. That's why praying with family matters. Because when we pray, when God's people really pray, the walls, like in Jerusalem, start to rise. But here's the thing. Strongholds start getting broken down. Because like the song said, this is how we fight our battles. Prayer and praise. Prayer first. But prayer doesn't replace action. Because we have a responsibility in this. The Lord can do whatever he wants with whatever. I mean, he's made mountains fall. Like he can do it all. But he asked us to partner with him. We get the opportunity to partner with him. Now, that's scary because he's going to ask us to do things that it's out of our comfort zone completely. Going to ask us to do things that we've never done before. For me, it's finances for the church. It's why now we have a treasure. It's going to take everything over. But in the beginning, it was us. We had to go, what are we going to do with this? I don't do that well. In fact, I'm like, budget? What budget? Just spend the money. Listen, it's worked. It's worked. But it won't work long term. He doesn't just say, Lord, protect us and then go to bed. Nope. He said, Lord, protect us and I'll stand night watch too. Protect us, yes. But I'm going to do my part. I'm going to stand on the wall and protect as well. Faith prays like it depends on God and works like it depends on us. We have to do something with that. We have faith that's going to work out, but you can't just sit on the couch and go, well, it's not going to work out. I've been praying. I've been praying. Churches we've been a part of before, I've heard the pastor say, look, you can come down to the altar for prayer, but if you've come down to the altar for 3 years for the same prayer, there's probably something you need to do. The Lord has already told you what you need to do. We'll keep praying for you because we really want the best for you, but you're going bald with all the anointing oil that we put on you. Really. So when you pray, here's the thing. When we pray first, it's not a laundry list of what we want the Lord to do. It's literally a conversation. And most times, if we just be quiet, if we sit in silence like we did before service today, that's when he's going to speak. In our classrooms, those of you who are educators or around kids, you hear, "I don't know what I'm doing." That's because you were talking while I was giving instructions. See, when we pray, we mumble on and on and on and on and on. We could pray for 3 hours that way, and then we'll come out of it going, "I got nothing out of that." No, because you didn't stop talking. You need to stop so the Lord can give you the directions that he wants for you. And here's the thing. Sometimes he just wants to whisper in your ear, "I love you. I got you. It's okay. I'm the shoulder you need to cry on." That's what he wants from you. Yes, he's going to correct you because he loves you. In some moments, he's going to do that. But he first wants you to come to him in prayer so he can love on you. But we're going to come against that opposition. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13 tells us to put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. Again, you have to do something against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Why? Because we're not fighting people, we're fighting spiritual powers. We have to go into it with prayer. The sword in the armor of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. We need to, it's not a literal sword where we got to go out and take out our enemies. Because when we start seeing people as our enemies, we've lost. Because it's not the people. That's what the devil wants. He wants to divide us and not pray. But God calls us to stand armored up, praying, and ready to go. Now in contradiction, but it's not. Nehemiah 4, 14 through 20, we're looking at fighting together, building together. But it's how we fight. Nehemiah looks over the people and he says, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your family." So he's saying, you need to fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes. But notice he starts, "Don't be afraid." The phrase and some of its different variances of it throughout the Bible shows up 365 times in Scripture, and that's not a mistake. Now, it doesn't specifically say, "Don't be afraid." It might say, "Don't be deceived. Don't lose heart." But in other words, don't be afraid for every day of the year. So we can go every day, "Don't be afraid." That's kind of hard for us humans. God is serious about his people not living in fear. But Nehemiah reminds them again, remember the Lord. Because when we remember who's on our side, fear loses its grip. Then he says, fight for your families. In other words, don't just defend your faith, pass it on. Sometimes we come in and we want what's for us. I want me, 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 me. But we need to pass it along. We need to raise up our families. Sometimes it's our parents. Sometimes our aunts and uncles, our brothers and sisters, our kids. Sometimes it's our neighbors. We need to fight for that. We need to fight for your kids' hearts, fight for your marriage, and ultimately fight for your community. See, we're called to not be afraid, but fight for the very thing God has placed in our lives. Problem is society doesn't like that because we've replaced God with social media. If being a disciple is where you seek to find answers, then I would say most of us are disciples of the internet and not Jesus. It's a hard truth, but really, if that's your first place to go get answers for what's going on in the world, if our first place is Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, all the reels that are out there, if we're like, "I want to know what's going on, what's this talk about the rapture coming," and we go there first and we don't go to the Bible first, we're not followers of Jesus. We're followers of the internet. We are disciples and true disciples of the internet. When we now have AI and we go, "Yeah, but the AI has the Bible in there." Yeah, the AI has a whole bunch of other stuff in there as well. And if that's our first go-to for everything, it's a great tool, don't get me wrong. We use it here at Connection Church. But we use it as a tool. We don't use it as our go-to. Same goes with larger-than-life personalities. And this is any larger-than-life personality. And we're going to even talk pastors and stuff. And I'm not talking against them. But what I'm saying is, when we allow them to take the place of priority in us over Jesus, including myself, and you're not checking that against what the Word of the Bible says, you make an idol of that person. And that's not biblical. Many times, people will just slap the word Christian on it, even though they're not a practicing Christian, because, again, it's clicks and likes, and you will follow it. And then be like, well, he's a Christian, and I like him, and I like the way he speaks. I'm going to follow that. What he says or what she says, so be it. But again, if we don't test it with what's in the Bible, we can easily make that idea or person an idol in our lives. Here's the thing. If God has called you to it and blessed it and placed it in front of you, we do have an obligation to fight for it. But if what's placed in front of you is a screen, I'm going to probably argue that that is not from the Lord. It's a distraction from where you need to be. It's a fun distraction. I have many games that I play. Way too much. But it's tearing apart. And I'll say it myself. There are nights that I sit on the couch and that's all I do. And I get to the end of the night going, I didn't really have a conversation with my wife. And that's replaced conversations with ourselves, but it's also replaced the conversations with the Lord. But wait, there's more. Because in verses 19 and 20, let's take a look at them. And this is probably my favorite part, maybe because I play the trumpet. It says, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. When the trumpet sounded, everyone ran to that spot on the wall. They didn't say, well, that's not my section, that's their section. I have my section. You've given me my orders. No, no. They see all of it as a part of theirs, that they are going to go and defend that section. They showed up. Because God's people fight together. We don't do this Christian life solo. That's boring anyhow. We should fight shoulder to shoulder. When one of us is under attack, we rally together. Again, part of revival. There's been revivals in the past. And you could talk about all of them. The Lord's going to do something new. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. But we're going to need to be shoulder to shoulder in those moments. Paul said in Philippians 1:27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, standing firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith. Worthy of the gospel. We've been given a gift, and then we squander that gift by our speech, by our actions, instead of fighting together. See, we don't fight for victory, we fight from it. The gospel is not a call. The gospel is not a call to earn God's favor. It's an announcement that Jesus has already secured that favor. We're called to fight for what matters, not for our comfort, not for others' opinion, but the souls of people who don't know Jesus yet. That's what we're fighting for. That is our fight. Our fight isn't against, we don't like that that's being shown. Yes, we need to fight against the darkness. Yes, we need to be fighting against those principalities in our prayer life. But the Lord will fight that. Here's the thing. The enemy's already been defeated. Who are we to think that we're going to fight against the darkness anyhow? Our prayers go to God. He will fight on our behalf. We still have a responsibility. We still have to do the things He asks us to do. We're still here on earth. He has a plan and a purpose for us. We need to figure that out, and then we need to move forward with the next thing or the last thing He told you to do and do that. That's what we're called to do. We don't need to take up all this extra stuff and lift up our own swords and I need to march in there. Maybe if that's what you're called to do, certain people are. I'm not called to be an evangelist. I'm just not. For me to go around a circuit pretending to be one is going to be fake. It's going to not going to be received well because I'm not built for that. You're built for something different. Figure out what that is and walk in that and know that the Lord has blessed it. And that's where your battle will be fought. So here's a few quick takeaways. And actually, it's in reverse. As I read this, I'm like, that's actually backwards, but the Lord does things in backward manner. So let me give these in reverse. First thing would be to build. We are to help build the kingdom, not just watch others do it. We have a responsibility in that. We need to pick up our own bricks like in Nehemiah, and we need to join the work. Here in the church, Connection Church, we have work to do in this community, and we're going to do that. Many of us are already starting conversations of what's our next area of focus. But understand it comes at a cost. So what's that cost going to be? What do we need to do that? And then let's go do it. And it's not saying we won't do it, but we need to calculate the cost before we march out there and say, this is our next brick. This is where we're going to put our next stand and help out. Second thing is to prepare. Again, Tuesday nights are a great way to do that, but daily as well, we need to pray like everything depends on God because it does. It doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on Carrie. It doesn't depend on this church. It depends on God. Again, we have our work to do, but it depends on God. Pray like everything depends on God. And then the last one is expect. Here's the thing. When you start building, you start preparing, expect resistance, but also expect God to show up in those moments. Here's a little thing that I've been really trying to lean into. When I come against those resistance, I have to find the small things that God has already blessed. I have to remember, like Moses would say, to build up those altars. I had to look back of, well, I've been through this before. I mean, I'm still alive, so I've lived through every single disappointing day of my life. I've lived through them all. So here I am. So if I can live through all those, this is just another bump in the road. But I have to physically sit myself down, possibly at my desk or at night at home, and go, all right. And I will go through family, friends, ministry, the day outside, how nice it is. Be able to sit on our deck, a peaceful 5 minutes. Just that you're breathing, that I woke up today. Maybe it's that my back's not bothering me today. But in those moments, I have to find those small moments. When our house gets, or when my life gets in a disarray, I try to find those things that I can control, but it's usually small. Maybe it's separating out Uno cards. But you're going to have resistance. So I'm here to remind you to find those little things to remind you in those times that it's going to be okay, because it will. Because the Lord has already gone before you. He's already fought those battles. But use it as remembering what God has already done in your life. He's blessed each and every one of us, and we need to remember that. I'm going to invite you to stand. Join me in prayer. As we look at this, I'm encouraged. Actually, I'm encouraged to want to do more. Looking at just in this chapter, I'm encouraged to do more. I'm called to do more. Like, yes, I might have my section that I'm working on, but there's other sections that I might be called to. The trumpet may sound, and I have to go there, and I'm going to help them out. So I'm listening to what's next, and I'm really, really encouraged. But I know we need to come at this first and foremost with prayer. Father, we thank you that even when the enemy mocks us and he attacks us, that you are our defender and strength. Teach us to pray first and to prepare well. Unite us as one people, fighting together, building together, not for us, but for your glory. And when the work feels heavy, help us to lift our eyes to you. Help us to lift our hands to you, our arms to you, to the God who fights for us, who goes before us, who straightens those paths for us. And help make us a people worthy of the gospel, living to see your kingdom come here on earth. Lord, we just thank you for sending Jesus. You found us so worthy that you were going to send him to us. He fought for us to take our sins. Forgive us when we have strayed away from even that simple message. And we've strayed away from Jesus. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness as we lean into your Son and thank him for what he's already done for us. Help us to recognize that next brick that we need to place in your wall, in your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, love you. Don't lose heart. Keep building those bricks. And join us this Tuesday. Join us this Tuesday as we pray for this community, as we pray for each other, because we will be praying for each other as well. And don't forget, join us in the Connection Cafe. Love you, church.